Attacks on journalists have become all too common, even in the U.S., where freedom of the press is enshrined in the Constitution. And while it's easy to understand that these attacks are meant to intimidate people from looking into certain subjects, in the aftermath, we might not think about the important work left unfinished. So we're going to tell you about a recent effort to make sure that didn't happen. Last September, Las Vegas investigative reporter Jeff German was killed outside his home. A local official in Clark County, Nevada, whom he had investigated, is charged in his death. At the time, German was working on an unrelated story about an alleged Ponzi scheme that victimized more than 900 people over a five-year period, mostly members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who, according to the SEC complaint, are believed to have lost somewhere around $500 million. To continue German's work, the Washington Post teamed up with his newspaper, the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Post reporter Lizzie Johnson published her report on Wednesday, and she's with us now to tell us more about it. Lizzie Johnson, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So collaborations are becoming more common. People might have heard about that big multinational Pandora project, but they aren't that common. And you don't necessarily think of the Post as a natural fit with a regional news outlet like the Las Vegas Review-Journal. So how did the partnership happen?
Well, right after we had heard about Jeff's death, the Post wanted to do something to help, right? This was someone who did the same work that we do, and a story should never have to die just because the reporter can't finish it. So my editors had reached out to the Las Vegas Review-Journal asking if there was something we could do. And Jeff's editor was like, you know, actually, there was this story idea he had. What if you took it on? And there was no question. It was an immediate yes that was the best thing we could do to help preserve his legacy and continue his work.
There have been a number of Ponzi frauds over the years that I think people know about. I'm thinking most notably like the Bernie Madoff scandal. This case has become known as the quote-unquote Mormon Ponzi scheme. Why do they call it that? And tell us a little bit more about what the scheme was.
So the scheme allegedly was the principals were selling these personal injury settlements, basically saying, you know, we are going to loan some money to someone who has slipped and fallen, and in 90 days, they'll pay us back. And if you keep your money invested with us, that will mean you'll get an annualized return of 50%. And so that was really enticing to a lot of people. It's a really good return. And it started working its way through the Mormon church. A few of the principals and the marketers were Mormon. And so they allegedly told their friends and family about it, and it spread from there. You had people who were investing their retirement accounts, who were getting a second mortgage on their house, who were putting all of their savings into this because it seemed like such a good deal. This is really common in what they call an affinity fraud. Basically, your sense of trust is so high because these are people that you see every Sunday at church. They belong to your ward. You see them at the grocery store. Your children grow up together. And, you know, you just don't expect that someone that you trust is going to defraud you. There was one victim that I talked with who described it as, you know, the red flags were heart-shaped. So even though the warning signs were there, she trusted the person who had told her about it and didn't expect this outcome.
So there was no underlying product of value that they were investing in. I guess that they would pay people with money that they got from other people. Like, that's how it worked?
Correct. And that's a hallmark of a classic Ponzi scheme, right? Is that these dividends arrive on time, they're the correct amount, you never miss one, and that inspires confidence. But that money isn't real money, per se. It is just the funds from new investors that are paying the quote-unquote dividends of older investors.
One of the alleged founders of the scheme is in jail at the moment, but he's the only one who's been charged, is that right?
Yeah. So the Securities and Exchange Commission filed a complaint last April against the principals and a bunch of lower-level marketers. And so that is working its way through the courts right now. Criminal charges have not been filed yet. And the only reason why that principal that you mentioned, attorney Matthew Beasley, the reason why that he is in that private detention center in Nevada right now is because he has another charge for assault against a federal officer. The FBI had gone to his house last year to ask him some questions and execute a search warrant. And when they got to his front door, he was waiting there with a gun. That is why he is imprisoned right now for those charges.
And I don't know if you really had time to think about this while you were, you know, following Jeff's lead and trying to finish his work, but is there any way you can kind of describe the, if you feel comfortable doing so, the effect on his colleagues of what it meant to them to have you finish his reporting.
You know, he was so passionate about his work, and everyone told me about how he treated his colleagues like family and had been covering Las Vegas for decades and really gave everything to the community. So I felt a lot of pressure to do this right. It was after publication that one of his colleagues reached out to me and was like, you know, Jeff would be really proud. And that's when I knew that I had done the job well and had upheld his honor. So that really means the world.
But why is it that they needed someone to come in to do the work? Is it that they just didn't have the staffing to fulfill all their other responsibilities as well as to do this work? Or they didn't have this, or he was basically the only person they felt who could do that work at that level? I guess I'm just sort of wondering why they needed to bring in someone from another news outlet. They just didn't have the capacity to do it, or was it just too painful?
Look, I can't speak for his editors for why they made that decision exactly, but my perception is that, you know, this is a local newspaper and staffing was stretched thin, and that they were really devastated by the death of Jeff, by his murder, and were focusing a lot of resources on covering what had happened and covering the ongoing case, along with the legal issues of, you know, Jeff's computer and cell phone and all of his notes and figuring that out in the courts over who gets control of that. I think they're, when they saw that the Post had reached out for help, again, this is just my perception, but I think they saw it as, okay, here are some resources we could use to continue Jeff's legacy and tell this story that we just don't have the manpower to do right now.
I think this is probably unusual for you. Am I right? I mean, you've never, you know, picked up a story that another reporter was unable to finish for whatever reason. What do you mind if I ask, like, what was that like for you?
There was a lot of pressure to be tasked with finishing this work that someone couldn't complete because they had been killed, right? Like, that's a lot. So I just really tried to stay focused on the work and think a lot about what Jeff would have done and hope that in the end he would be proud of the story and that he would be, you know, enthralled by all the twists and turns along the way.
Lizzie Johnson is a reporter for The Washington Post. Her piece, where she completed the work started by Jeff German, is titled "Alleged $500 Million Ponzi Scheme Preyed on Mormons. It Ended with FBI Gunfire." It is available online now, and it will be published in both the Las Vegas Review-Journal and the Washington Post on Sunday. Lizzie Johnson, thanks so much for sharing this reporting with us.
Thanks for caring.